As we stand in awe today of your amazing love, Father God, shown forth to us by way of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray that love that you have for us would just become such a reality that everyone here would get a fresh revelation of how amazing your love is as it is shown to us in no greater way than in what Jesus Christ came and did for us. We thank you for that. And Father, as we approach the Word of God today, we pray your Holy Spirit would open up the eyes of our understanding so that we might see things like we've never seen it before. That we might live for you like we've never lived for you before. When we realize there's nothing more important to live for than to live for Christ, because it's eternity that's at stake. We thank you for it and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. Amen. I'd like us to begin this morning by opening our Bibles, if you have one with you, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. As I was just seeking God to see what He'd have me to share, we're going to continue. It's been about 4 weeks since I've ministered the Word. And I want to continue where we left off about a month ago, pertaining to becoming established in our heart, or established in present truth. And I want to begin with this passage of Scripture as we just remind you of a few things I said 4 weeks ago, and then we launch off from there, because I believe it's a word in season for us. Now look here at Matthew chapter 16. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says this, Jesus speaking to His disciples, it says in verse 15 to begin with, He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, one of the things, or the primary thing that we've been talking about for much of this year, over a whole bunch of time, this is part 16 in this series, we've been talking about God's desire to restore His church. You know, God is a restoring God. The Bible is a book of restoration. It's all about restoration. It's primarily about God restoring the human race to Himself. And He did that, as we well know, by way of the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that now right? Amen? Now, we want to talk, though, about the fact, everybody say it's a fact, that God wants to restore His church. Over the centuries, we know and understand that the church has been robbed. The church has been stolen from. The church lost so much of the truth upon which it was established to begin with. If you look at the book of Acts, and you look at the church, especially in America today, the book of Acts church and the church in America today do not look one and the same. Would you say amen to that? The church in the book of Acts was a powerful church. The church in the book of Acts was one that was said to have turned the world upside down. The church in the book of Acts was a church, and when I say church, I mean the people of God. They were people that would die for their faith. And today, we can't even get people to live for their faith. Are you hearing me here today?
Yeah.
Well, it got quieter now. But nevertheless, it's the truth. But you know, we're living in a day when persecution will increase. You watch. It's happening in other parts of the world. It's begun here to a greater extent. But it's going to increase in our nation as well. It has already to a certain extent, but it will increase more. And that persecution is going to force the people of God, those that will, to press into God like they never did before. There's going to be, in these days, I'm convinced the Bible teaches it, and we understand it. I already mentioned part of it, have mentioned it many times, that in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4 makes that very clear, that the Spirit spoke expressly through the Apostle Paul. Paul said very specifically, it's the Spirit that is speaking expressly this word, that in the last day some shall depart from the faith. Why? Because they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Two things. There are spirits out there attempting to seduce you and me as believers. Are you hearing me here today? It says in the last day there'll be seducing spirits, and those seducing spirits will cause many believers to fall away from the faith. And so we understand that to be that there are then those spirits that are assigned by Satan in order to bring seduction to the people of God. It doesn't say that it refers to the unbeliever. It's talking about the people of God, the church. There are spirits out there assigned by Satan to seduce you, and you and I better be on guard. Now, I know this is not shouting from the spotlight type of message so far, but it's going to get better, so just stay with me, all right? There are seducing spirits, and then it says there are doctrines of demons. And so not only are there spirits of seduction in order to draw the church away, to draw the people of God away in these days, and it will increase as we approach more and more of the second coming of the Lord, it'll increase, and that seduction will be very, very deceptive. We'll think we're doing the right thing. There'll be believers thinking they're following God. But because they have followed wrong doctrine, the doctrine of demons, instead of the doctrine in the Word of God, they will be deceived more and more by those seducing spirits. Are you following what I'm saying to you? But you see, we're determined that that's not going to happen to us. Are you determined? That we're going to stay in the Word. We're going to make our priority the Word of God. We're not going to make our priority all these other things that cause distractions and what have you for the people of God. We're going to make our priority the Word of God. Amen? And we believe that when we do, God confirms His Word with real signs, real wonders. He confirms His Word with real prophetic, real gifts of the Spirit. But it all comes back to the Bible, the Word of God. Is that not right? All right, now I emphasize that a lot, but one day maybe you're going to thank me for that, because we emphasize the Bible, we teach the Word, we want the Word to get into you. It doesn't matter how many times you've been through the Bible, it's how many times the Bible's been through you.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, today, you know, well, I won't go there, I will go there. Today, you know, we understand Jesus rose from the dead, and today you can't even get Christians out of bed. You understand that? All right. Anyway, notice what Jesus said, though, and here's the promise. And before I read, let me just say this. People say, well, is it going to get better or worse? And the answer to that is yes. The answer to that is yes. For the world, it's going to get worse. Isn't that right? Gross darkness is going to cover the earth. Isaiah 60 makes it clear. In the world, it's going to get worse. Out there, it's going to get worse. But for the church, those that are seeking God, those that are going after His Word, it's going to get better. Does that mean everything's going to be flowery beds of ease? No. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be things that'll happen. But the church is going to be victorious, because Jesus said, and we just read, that He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. And so, yes, the answer is it going to get better or is it going to get worse? Worse in the world, better in the church. And so you better stay in and with the church, because the world is going to be darker and darker and more deceptive all the time. And we live in such an independent society, and we're under and talking about this idea of the need for assembling together. You know, what we're doing this morning is a God idea. It's not a man's idea. Assembling together as believers coming, worshiping corporately, getting into the Word of God together, someone preaching, teaching the Word of God. You know, that's all biblically based. God's idea is involved. It's all God's idea, right? And so God had that idea. Why? Just so we'd have something to do. Just so we'd be, you know, wanting to sleep in and miserable because we couldn't? Why did God ordain that we assemble together? And the church in the book of Acts assembled together often on the first day of the week. And so thus, tradition has it that we assemble together typically on Sundays, the first day of the week. Though we ought to assemble more, and we ought to, you know, realize that we can worship at home and all these various things. Isn't that right? But God ordained that the church assemble, and there's many reasons why. One reason why is because we are more powerful and we are more victorious together than what we could ever be apart.
Amen.
And one of the seducing doctrines, if you will, in our nation today is this doctrine of individuality and independence that says, I don't need anybody else. And it's carried over into the church, hasn't it? Carried over into the church. Say, well, I've got my relationship with God. I don't need other believers. I worship at home. That's good, you should. I read my Bible at home. That's good, you should. But how many of you know that that's unbiblical to do that only instead of assembling together? It says in Hebrews chapter 12, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, especially as you see that day approaching, exhorting one another. That day is the coming of the Lord. He says especially the closer you get to the coming of the Lord, it is more and more imperative that you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Yeah, yeah.
The church in the book of Acts assembled together more often than we do. They assembled together from house to house practically on a daily basis as well as in the temple. They would assemble together. Isn't that right? And so there's dynamics involved. There's a need involved in order for us to stay strong. And I'm convinced that as persecution increases, those individuals out there that have separated themselves from the church of Jesus Christ, I don't mean just this church, I mean the church, a local church, wherever that local church is, those that have separated themselves are going to do one of two things. They are either going to be amongst those that depart from the faith, or they're going to be amongst those that say, I need to get back into church and in the fellowship of other believers. One of two things is going to happen to those that have gone astray and scattered, and those that have become, in some cases, prodigal sons and daughters of God. And see, we that are here, we need to receive those prodigals. We need to receive those independent, scoundrels or whatever. We need to receive them with open arms and love. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. Because I believe the prodigals are coming home. To whatever local church God's called them to, many of the prodigals are coming home. Many of the prodigals are realizing they can't go it alone. You and I were never meant to go it alone as a believer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We were never meant to go it alone. It's dangerous and becoming more so in the days that we live. Amen? The Bible has too many one another's in it. Pray one for another. Exhort one another. Comfort one another. Encourage one another. Love one another. All these want to serve one another.
Amen.
So many one another's, that implies they got to be together in order for that to happen. Isn't that right? Amen. And so all of these things are necessary, but we understand that ultimately the church will not be prevailed over, but the church is going to prevail. And Jesus is not coming after a defeated church. He's coming after a victorious church. Amen? Amen. And so let's hang on to that. But in order for that to happen, there needs to be restoration. There needs to be a restoring of the church to at least begin to look like the church did in the book of Acts. There needs to be a church that's not wimpy and weak and just barely getting along. How many of you know church assembling is not supposed to be, the same as the Elks Club coming together?
Amen. Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's supposed to be something to happen. There's supposed to be the presence of God. There's supposed to be power. There's supposed to be refilling. There's supposed to be refreshing. There's supposed to be equipping. In order so that we can go out into our mission field after we come back, got refilled, refueled, equipped, and prepared better and better, go out and be ready to go out into our mission field in a greater extent. Isn't that right? You know where people miss it? And I'm way away from my notes, but that's all right. You know where people miss it? They come to church to see what they can get out of church. But you know what? We ought to come to church to see what we can put into it, because those that give, more is given back to them. You get more out of it when you're determined to give more into it. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I mean, we come to church with the idea, how's it going to meet my needs? Instead of saying, how can I serve God? How can I meet the need that God has in order to extend the kingdom of God? I'm going to go to church. I want to see, about people loving me and all these various things. I need love, and that's all fine and good. We all need love. But how about loving others? Josh touched on that. Bree touched on that. Others touched on that in testimonies and what have you. Loving one another. I was frustrated a few weeks ago, and I said, God, I don't know how to do this. I just people expect too much of me. I just don't know what to do. I just want to be a forest ranger, God. I want to go out to the woods. All I heard on the inside, and I say these things, I don't say these things all the time. You don't hear me saying, like a lot of preachers, God told me. How many of you know that? If you've been here long enough, I almost never say God told me. But on the inside of me rose up, all I ask you to do is love people. All I'm asking you to do is love people. And even though that was so simple, it's like a light bulb went off in my head. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot about it. So simple, yet so profound. Isn't that right? But in that time of frustration, just crying out to God, God, I just can't do that. I don't know what's expected. Too many expectations. I just don't know how to do this. You know, I'm just a kid. I was a 17-year-old kid, got filled with the Holy Ghost, got on fire for God, and just said, okay, I'm going to go to Bible school, and ended up here.
Hallelujah.
How did that happen?
And
I'm thinking, frustrated, you're thinking, God, I'm not prepared for this. And not only that, but the America and the culture that I grew up in is so much different than the culture here. I mean, have you ever felt that way? I don't know if you did or not. I mean, I feel like I'm just, you know, from the backside of the Appalachians or something. I just grew up from a different perspective, a different culture, and things have just changed so much. What did you say?
Mayberry.
Pam calls it Mayberry where I grew up. She starts calling me Barney Fife. Man, we're kicking her out of here.
Opie.
Or Opie. But you ever get frustrated like that? But then, you know, the Lord just spoke my heart, as I said. It's so simple yet profound. All I'm asking you to do is just love people. And isn't that what it's all about? Do you know, you can think, well, God, I think you're just expecting too much of me. But you know, the same thing's true of you. All he's asking you to do is just love people. Amen. Love your fellow brothers and sisters. Didn't it say in John chapter 13, about verse 34, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. Doesn't even refer to love in the world. It says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you love one another. All he's asking you to do is love one another. I got thinking about that. And how many times, you know, the Apostle John, I wonder if the readers of his epistles ever got tired of hearing him say it over and over again in his writings. Love one another. My little children, 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 love one another. Why do you keep saying that? Because John had a revelation that that's all really God wanted us to do. Is just love with that kind of love. Isn't that right? Is everybody doing all right?
Yeah.
And you know what? We fail. And we will fail. We'll falter. We'll continue to falter. But you know what? As long as we're reminded now and then, I believe the Holy Ghost will make sure.
Yeah.
All I'm asking you to do is love one another. And out of that love for one another, love the world. Love the lost. See them with God's eyes. God commends his love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave. Should we not love the world for what has been given to us? Isn't that right? And so that's all that it's about. As we assemble together, we're getting replenished in love. We should be getting reminded. And people say, well, I don't need to gather together. Why? Because they don't want to have to love people. People stop coming to church because they've been burned too many times. I've been burned probably more than all of you. Amen. I've been deserted. I've been shot in the back. Not literally. You understand what I'm saying. I've had people go AWOL. You know what AWOL means? Absent without leave, right? I've had people do all sorts of lie about me. I've had people lie about me. Can you not lie about me? You say, how do you know that? Well, I know that for a variety of reasons, but one fellow came to me not long ago and said, you did this, that, and the other. How do you know that? Somebody told me. Well, they lied to you about me. Because it's a full lie, complete lie, not even a partial lie, not even a half-truth, complete lie. Amen. So you know what? Concerning other people, don't believe everything everybody else tells you about other people. Because you know what? A lot of times they've got it so tainted in their minds. It's gotten so messed up in their heads. You know, there's a difference between what's transmitted and what's received. And something happens in between sometimes where they receive it this way, but it wasn't transmitted that way to start with. Something happened in between the transmission and the reception. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
And so don't believe what other people say about other people. Because half the time it's a lie. Or a half lie, or half truth, or whatever the case may be. Are you understanding? Just love one another.
Yeah.
Now, is that to say that I'm perfect or anybody? No, I've made lots of mistakes. That was a real opportunity to say amen. Thank you for not doing so. I made so many mistakes. You can ask my wife. I'm imperfect. My daughter tells me I yell too much. I don't yell too much. She thinks I yell too much. But you understand that I just talk and people think I'm yelling sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? And not only that, but sometimes with kids, you know, you start off just talking. But when the hearing has a hard time receiving just level talk, how many of you know a heightened voice sometimes gets better receptivity? You understand what I'm saying? We're just talking real here. Isn't that right? Amen. They'll say, oh, you're yelling. I said, I didn't start off yelling. But when I wasn't yelling, nobody was hearing. Now some of you can relate, and others are looking at me like, I thought you were, you know, better than that. Well, you know, we all got our human side.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. Pam yells at me. No, I'm just kidding. You know, she doesn't always make it in here, so when she does, I'm going to let her have it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? My time's up. I haven't hardly touched my notes, but I want you to know the church will not be prevailed against.
Amen.
The church is going to prevail. Amen. And I want to share with you next week some things that I know God's put on my heart that relate to this. We had a lot to do today pertaining to the communion, what have you. But I don't want to, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak sometimes, and I don't want to wear you out. But I just want you to, if you don't take anything else home, just take home what's been being said. And I echo it again, because it's something we need to hear over and over and over again. Just love each other. Forgive each other. Don't be bitter toward one another. Amen. Begin to watch your words and what you say and how you say it. Be quick to apologize. Amen? You know, the world will tell you, you know, I remember, is everybody doing okay? I remember, I used to watch a lot of John Wayne Westerns. How many of you know? And sometimes John Wayne, you know, he had some good Westerns. Sometimes they weren't so good. And sometimes he used a lot of language that you don't want your kids to hear and what have you. But I remember one time he said this, and it struck me. I said, boy, that's unbiblical, isn't it? He said, don't apologize, son. It's a sign of weakness. How many of you know that's a lie? How many of you know apologizing is a sign of strength? Saying you're sorry shows more strength than denying it and just a sticking to your guns even when you know you're wrong. When you know you're wrong, just admit you're wrong. When you know you need to say you're sorry, say you're sorry.
Amen.
Right? And just walk in that love. Best way you know how. Meditate in the Word. Read 1 John over and over and over again. Read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 over and over again. Begin to confess it about yourself. And let's just determine that when people come in here, what they sense more than anything else is God's love is in that place. I felt loved in that place. I felt loved in that place. You know, I just heard a fella, and I don't know if I should share it. He's not here today, but he just visited not long ago. You know, he came a couple of years ago, and he never came back because a lady coming in didn't hold the door for him. Well, you know, I think maybe there was a problem with him a little bit there, but thank God, and he'd admit that, I'm sure, because he basically did. But you know what? Let's be sensitive to other people if we can. Amen? We're not going to be perfect, but just little things like that. What if he was a sinner? He was a believer, even. But what if he'd been an unbeliever? Just with a, you know, not wanting to be here to start with. Just coming in because maybe his wife's dragging him. Or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Just common courtesy and manners goes a long way. Isn't that right? Common courtesy and manners goes a long way. And is a way that we show our love for one another. Not perfect. We're not a perfect church. As long as I'm here as pastor, we will not be a perfect church. But thank God we're going to continue to do our best to just love each other and love those that come in and love the world, love the sinner, so that we can love them right into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me in the worship team if you'd come?
Amen.
Good for you. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you and praise you today. Father, I know that the word in season today, as it's been said so many times as of late, Father God, is to learn to love one another, loving one another. Father, we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. That love of God's been poured into our hearts, Father God. We have the capacity to love. And Father God, I believe that as we walk the love walk, we'll be free from deception. We'll be free from seducing spirits. When our focus is loving others the way Christ loved us, Father God, deception won't be able to stay. Deception won't be able to penetrate because the love walk is the essence of it in so many ways. Father God, thank you for giving this fellowship of believers an awakening of your love, Father God, an awakening of your love, that we might understand your love so that we can love others in a greater capacity and in a supernatural way. It's supernatural love we're talking about. Supernatural love by way of the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you for that and believe you for that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's just worship God for a moment. Let's see what else the Lord might want to do here today. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Shano kotele masana. Beje keche beka rezo rezo boza balaba kazo rezo rezo. Shaka da rezo rezo rezo. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you,
Jesus.
You are my King, Jesus. You. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I know and I realize that He died for me, that His blood was shed so that I could be forgiven, but I've never reached out and said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. The Bible says everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone has failed God. Everyone has broken the law of God. And because everyone has, everyone deserves death. They deserve eternal death, hell, and the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. And that's where everyone is headed who has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and been forgiven of their sin. The bad news is that we're guilty of sin. The bad news is, with that guilt, we're headed for hell. But the good news is, Jesus bore the punishment for us, so that if we'll make Him the Lord of our life, we'll be forgiven. It's not by works that we do. It's not by earning it. You can't earn heaven. You have to receive the gift of God's grace by receiving the gift of Jesus Christ. So if that describes your situation, you're here today and you say, I need Him. I need to make Him Lord of my life. If you would be so bold and have enough guts to just lift your hand up high, I want to pray with you and introduce you to this Jesus that changed my life when I was just 12 years old. And since that time, I've never turned back because He's changed me and given me hope and given me a destiny. If that's your situation, you need His forgiveness. You need to reach out and make Him Lord. Would you just raise your hand and let me know that's you?